Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game on.
All right, folks, it is a Baltimore Sports Talk Monday. Spring training, the first Monday in the spring of 2016. I'm Rob McQuay, your host. Jeff Coles is my co-host. And Jeff, does it feel spring-like there in Mount Vernon, Ohio?
Oh, it's trying to break through right now. We've got some. We had a little bit of cold today, but I think it's going to warm up and be a very nice day, which would be just fine because today is Carmel's birthday. My wonderful wife is celebrating, and we're hopefully going to be able to go out to lunch today.
Happy birthday, Carmel Coles, and have a good lunch. Where would you go, Jeff? What's hot there in Mount Vernon?
Well, you know, one of the places that we have that's been around over 100 years is the Alcove, and that had a lot of famous people eat there, some presidents, so I've heard, but it's what the over 50 crowd goes for.
There you go. That's Here in Towson, I don't know, was the Pepper Mill around when you were living here?
I think that was after my time.
Yeah. The Pepper Mill, that's it's right off of York Road. I guess what you would consider Lutherville. And it's the nickname is God's Waiting Room because it's all the – now, we're probably going to say the maybe 60, 65 or 70 and overs. And that's where the – that's where my parents go.
Oh, okay.
So,
you know, and it's strange because, you know, it just seems that certain age groups seem to congregate to certain places.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Okay. Let's get to some sports. There's really plenty to talk about, and I don't know really where we want to start, Jeff. But I guess let's go ahead and start with the fact that the Maryland Terrapins have moved on to the Sweet 16, which I kind of find interesting and almost, I don't know, was surprising because I actually did not think they were going to get out and beat Hawaii yesterday the way that game was going. Last night, and in fact, they had gone down in the second half, 41-39, and I was just getting home from Annapolis, and I turned the car radio off and said, I'm not listening to the rest of that, but they pulled it out. They went on a 14-0 run, and they beat Hawaii last night, and so they moved on to the Sweet 16, but this is probably the end of the road, Jeff. They face they face Kansas on Thursday.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't count anyone out this year, and I told you last week. This is the most. As far as NCAA tournaments go, this is one of the most upset prone tournaments that we've had in recent memory.
Yeah.
Kansas is not perfect. They're like everybody else at the top, in those top 10, top 15 teams. They're vulnerable.
Sure. Now, did your bracket get busted on the first day?
I think pretty much. I mean, I got destroyed. Yeah. I think most of America got destroyed. I mean, this is this is probably one of the worst years for pick. I mean, I've got somebody in one group I'm in, and he's in second place, and I don't think he did much better than I did, which is pretty terrible.
Well, I saw on the news this morning that the NCAA is reporting that there are no perfect brackets left at this point. So I think a lot of people probably got busted in that first week because we had upsets in that first round.
The only team that didn't pull an upset was my special adopted team for this year, which is Holy Cross.
So you were done with like the first game then.
Yeah. When they got off the bus.
Yeah, right. All right, well, Maryland moves on to the Sweet 16, which is a little surprising the way they've been playing. They just won't rebound. It just drives a Maryland Terrapin fan crazy when you're watching or listening to these games that they just won't rebound. I don't know what the answer is. They have plenty of talent. But at times they're just getting outplayed, maybe outcoached a little bit, but certainly they're being out rebounded. So we'll see. We'll see what they can do Thursday with Kansas.
Does anybody have a tougher job than the head coach of a basketball team, especially college?
Yeah,
the stress in a game. I mean, during the game.
Yeah, right. Well, did you see the pictures of I forget what coach it was, but one of the maybe this was pro. No, I think it was college, but one of the coach had sweat through his shirt. Did you see those those pictures?
Yeah, that was like Mr. Wilcox at Towson High School.
Oh my goodness! I totally forgot.
And of course, the sweat stains made a they would reach a certain point, and they would create an arc around his shirt. And during the year, the sweat stains would grow bigger and bigger.
Oh, now that is funny. That's funny. Well, and this guy, this coach, there were some memes out on Facebook that showed him in a pool and in the rain, and I don't know, these different things where he was next to different people and scenarios that he, and I think, Jeff, I'm pretty sure he wasn't wearing an undershirt, so it was that much worse. At least he was a fit man. He wasn't like an older, big kind of flabby and fat guy. So, all right,
Jeff Tilly, Jeff might call it.
Yeah. All right, enough of those shenanigans. Any other thoughts on the NCAA tournament at this point?
The thing is, one of the changes with all the one and dones that are on these teams, especially in the higher level schools, is that you have schools that have freshmen and juniors on their roster and their starting lineup, going up against second tier schools that have seniors and juniors, and sometimes I think that's an equalizer.
Yeah, sure, good. Okay, the Baltimore Orioles. Let's switch over to baseball, and there's a lot to talk about with the Orioles. But I was just looking at their schedule, and you know, obviously, we all know that they didn't win a game for like I don't even know how many games, but maybe 10 games or something like that. They had a tie or two in there, but they didn't win. Now, they got their first win, I believe, against the Yankees. I think that's right. I have to look back at the schedule. But since then, they've played 9 games since their first win, including that first win. They've played 9 games. And in that span of 9 games, they have gone 5-2-2. 5 wins, 2 losses, and 2 ties. So, you know, I mean, if you look at the whole spring right now in terms of the schedule and record, it's and who cares in a sense, but not that good. But if you look at their last week of play or so, playing pretty well and starting to put things together. And I'll tell you, one of those things that's been nice to kind of see is, again, the addition of Pedro Alvarez. And yesterday, Jeff, here's how things sounded yesterday.
Alvarez to the gap in left center field. That ball's in a long way, and that is gone! It carried out for a grand slam. What a laser beam for Pedro Alvarez.
All right, so Pedro hits a grand slam. And
was that a Camden Yards home run, or was that a legitimate
That's a good question. I was watching the game at that point, and you can hear if you listen to Jim Hunter there, you can hear at the beginning of his call, he didn't know it was going to go out. So it was not a wind carried home run. It was a line drive that just kind of took off and made
it
over.
Sounded like Hunter's, it sounded like Hunter's voice went up about 3 octaves there at mid-flight on that ball.
Yeah, here. Yeah. Let's play it again. Hang on, let's play it again.
Alvarez to the gap in left center field. That ball's hit a long way, and that is gone!
Yeah, there it is.
What a laser beam for Pedro Alvarez!
Yeah, so if you listen to the beginning of that, he's just saying, well, that, in fact, if I remember the call, they're saying that's in the gap. So pretty much you thought that was going to be a double to the gap in left center, and the ball never came down. It just kept going up and out of there. So it could have made it out in Camden Yards. But you know what? That's really beside the point, because he hit the ball well. He worked the count to a 3-2, and he was all over the pitch. And if it hadn't gone out, it still would have been a double in the gap, and probably would have scored three runs since the bases were loaded. I would imagine the guy from first could probably have scored on that, although I don't remember who it was.
You've got with Alvarez and Trumbo, one of the things that we talked about was a corner outfield position, and of course, to me that's been resolved. I mean, that not only that's been resolved in a half, and I think that what I would say is that Nolan Reimold has been a pretty good addition, in terms of coming back and he's played pretty well. But I think
I'm back.
Oh, okay, Rob. Okay,
I'm back, Jeff.
I was just talking about the corner outfield position, and then because you were mentioning, with Alvarez, and then I wanted to work my way into the biggest and most pleasant surprise of the whole spring, which is the play of outfielder Joey Rickard. And, he's on the number 2 on the depth chart in center field. But he right now leads the team in hits. He's hitting .357. He's got 3 stolen bases on a team that doesn't run. I mean, the Orioles do not run.
Right.
And really, to me, he provides the way he's playing right now, a dimension that this ball club doesn't have. in terms of his defense and his speed and his you know, in the outfield and on the bases.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the Orioles do with him. And now Hyun-Sun Kim has begun to hit the ball. That's another, you know, the Orioles were in the over, and he was like 0 for 21, I think. But he's begun to hit the ball now, and he was on base at least twice yesterday. So, you know, maybe he's coming around. Obviously, Pedro Alvarez, we're probably not going to see him play much in the field, and he'll be pretty much a DH. Mark Trumbo, he's hitting the ball well in spring training. I don't know that he's terrible in right field, but you know, the Orioles are going to have a good problem in trying to figure out, you know, who's going to play every day, or how, and Buck's really good about, you know, pulling people in and out and getting them regular work in if they don't play every day. So it should be interesting. We know the team is going to hit, but and they have hit the last several years, but the one thing that's been, you know, the issue for the Orioles obviously has been the pitching. And let's talk a little bit about that, Jeff. It's looking pretty decent right now with the starting pitching, although I think the jury is still out on Miguel Gonzalez.
Well, you know, I've got my list right now. If spring training were to end today, of who my starters would be, and you know, right. Well, Chris Tillman obviously just starting to see some action now, and we hopefully he will come back and be the what he has been for the last few years. But he had a hip flexor, and those things are tricky. Hip flexor, especially in your stepping foot when you're throwing, can actually nag on you for sometimes for years. And so you gotta, you know, it's something he's got to be careful with. Gallardo, another one who, you know, I want to see more, you know, before I'm guessing he's going to round into shape at some point. And we talked about Jimenez last week, and you know that he's going back to his sinker, and you know that that's helped him. His ERA is starting to shrink. Now Gausman, and we've talked about him. I mean, this is his year now. He's starting to get a little tendonitis in his shoulder. I think he's getting some cortisone. Is he not?
I'm not sure. I think that may be the case. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. I don't recall that, but that may be. Let's see. Oh yeah. Yep. You're right. Gausman has injection for shoulder tendonitis. So yep.
And so really, we come down to you know, right at this point was listed at number 6 on the. On the list of starters, and I would put him at number 5.
Gausman.
Right.
Yeah.
I would put right on that on at number 5, not at number 6. Yeah.
Okay.
And
well, so,
Gonzalez.
Leaving Gonzalez out of there for you?
Well, to me, right now. You know, when you look at it, you know, he was hurt last year. He had a terrible second half. He's been awful. I think he needs to probably work out his issues at the AAA level. One of the people that, you know, they've been talking about, you know, as a possible starter is Tyler Wilson.
Right,
and, you know, he's got like an ERA around 3, but he hasn't walked anybody. You know, that's pretty impressive. You know, control. And I put him on the bubble as a starter at this point, just because I think I would give an awful lot of people a chance in that 5 and 6 spot.
Well, then
I think there's 4 pretty decent starters.
And then, you know, the discussion has to continue about Dylan Bundy, because they, as we've talked about before, he has to be here on the major league roster. So where does he figure in? Are they going to be able to put him in the bullpen, what are they going to do with him? So, and that's another.
He had a nice outing against the Pirates last week, and he went up there and he threw 2 scoreless innings. I mean, if he can go in there and maybe do some setup or middle relief for a little while, until he gets back up to speed, he might be the answer eventually for that number 5, number 6 spot.
Well, obviously it'll be interesting as it always is every spring, and to see what the Orioles end up doing. And as I watched the broadcast yesterday on Masson, they were talking about, Buck has said, I think it's going to be either Sunday or Monday, maybe it's a week from today, he will be announcing the starting rotation, for the opening of the season. But the way things lined up, if you look, he threw Tillman yesterday, and Chris went four. I know he went into the fourth inning. I'm not sure if he finished that inning or, but he threw three to four innings yesterday, which I think was pretty good, especially coming back. And he pitched well. He really did pitch well. He gave up back-to-back home runs at one point. One, because he made a mistake and left the ball kind of up in the zone where he didn't want it to be. The other home run, the second home run, the guy just hit out. I mean, and that was probably one of those spring training Florida home runs, because the wind was blowing pretty strongly out. The ball was up, but it's where he wanted it to get, and the guy just got some good wood on it, and it went out. So Tillman looked good, and as you look at the way it was lined up, if you count the starts, projected starts for the pitchers, Chris Tillman's regular rotation work would have him as the opening day starter. So I think without Buck telling us that, he's told us that just in what he's doing on the field. So Chris Tillman,
I am surprised a little bit at the fact that he threw him. You said 3 or 4 innings. I would have thought that he might have thrown him 2, only because of the fact that he's really a week or 2 weeks behind the rest of the staff.
Yeah. True, but I can tell you, I mean, I was watching, he was pitching in the fourth inning, so I'm actually going to see if I can find, I'm looking at the summary from yesterday, so that's Mattis, Tillman, Tillman, let's see, so Tillman completing 4 innings, he ramped up his pitch count to 66, so he threw 66 pitches, 42 were strikes, and he completed 4 innings. He had gone on Tuesday, his first game pitching against the Blue Jays, he went 1 2/3 innings, so he pitched almost through 2. So he pretty much doubled his and that's nice. If you figure that he, from his first to his second, he doubled. Let's say if he doubles his second to third, that means he pitches 8 complete, which is not going to happen.
You know.
But that's a good sign. So let's hope that continues.
But when you get to 6 innings, I mean, when you've got guys like McFarland and O'Day waiting in the bullpen behind you,
right.
it's a lot
right.
better.
Right. Okay, look, we got about 5 minutes left. I want to switch gears because there is some football to talk about, and particularly with the Baltimore Ravens. And we haven't talked about this yet, Jeff, but they've been making some moves here, and some pretty nice moves. About a week or so ago, they signed tight end Benjamin Watson, formerly of the Patriots, and last year he played with the Saints. Here is a nice veteran receiving tight end, and I've always liked Benjamin Watson, you know, watching him as he played for other teams. Now he becomes a member of the Ravens. He'll help some of those young tight ends learn and grow, but he can step right in.
For them.
Yeah, he can step right in and be a go-to target for Joe, and that's providing Joe comes back on time. That's a whole nother. We'll have to do a whole show on that, I think.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's not a given. I mean, with Joe and
no, not at all. All right, so Ben Watson, and then they went out and they signed former Pittsburgh Steeler Mike Wallace. Let's see, who was he playing for last year? He was playing for
Arizona.
Oh my goodness! I can't say Miami. It's not Miami. Can't remember who he was playing for last year. But at any rate,
Mike moves around a lot. It's like me in school, you know.
But here's a guy that when he played for Pittsburgh, he was a threat. He always a threat. He's a little bit like Torrey Smith. He gives us the speed to take the top off of defenses. His hands are a little suspect, and his route running isn't the greatest from what I've read and understand. So, but what he does do is he gives us that stretch the field ability. With Steve Smith returning, Kumar Aiken, and they've just re-signed Marlon Brown as well.
Those last two, Kumar Aiken and Marlon Brown, I really like them. I think that's a great addition. I'm glad Steve Smith's coming back. Steve Smith Sr. I have to say the senior part all the time.
Right. And
I think Mike Wallace coming into that kind of situation where you already have some pretty good receivers, you know, adds a dimension. Whereas if you were just bringing him in and you didn't have a whole lot else, I mean, I wouldn't think that would be, you know, helpful. You know, Mike Wallace in that kind of a core might really give us an edge as far as receivers.
Yep. So, and he'll be able to help Breshad Perriman along, providing that he's healthy and is able to actually go and do something. So, that's a good sign.
Yeah, I forgot about him. He's one game and done one play. Well, how many plays was he in?
I don't know, but it was that first practice. It was the first day of camp. Okay, now on the defensive side, of course, they've got issues to deal with, pass rushing and all that stuff. But what they did do is they went out and signed a safety.
I have the privilege of introducing you to the newest member of the team, Eric Weddle. Eric, you just signed a new four-year contract. How do you feel right now?
Words can't really express how I'm feeling. I'm excited, ecstatic, honored. This is a huge, humbling position to be in, to join such an amazing organization, my teammates, coaching staff, the fans, the city, the Weddles are all in there.
Wait, when you're a player like you, who?
All right, so this is Eric Weddle, safety who played for the Chargers for so many years, Pro Bowler, and now we put him back there with Lardarius Webb, with
Come on.
Yeah, right. See, we're not in football mode. We can't think of it now. But that is, I think, huge, shoring up the secondary. And this guy, he's a leader. He's obviously experienced. He's a Pro Bowler. And, you know, he's going to add to a defense that actually down the stretch played pretty well against the pass. They were bad in the first half of the year, but the second half of the year, they really started figuring things out. And, you know, if we can get that other the cornerback situation is what is, I guess, up in the air so much right now. And, you know, Jimmy Smith, I just don't know what's happening with him there. And we'll just see what they can do about cornerback. But at least the back end.
They can bring back Will Hill and, you know, some of those guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but anyway, the Ravens right now look like they're getting better in terms of these off-season acquisitions, and hopefully all of that's going to translate onto the field when they get at it in July. So we'll see. What any final thoughts on any of that football or anything that we didn't cover?
When you think about what the Ravens were and the kind of team that they were, that first game of last season, when they really did a heck of a job against a team that would eventually win the Super Bowl and were very competitive against them, at least when you think of that and you think of the guys coming back and you think of the guys that were getting in here, it gives us a lot to look forward to for the season, and hopefully the Ravens will draft well. Of course, that's coming up.
Right. Yep. The draft. We will have that to talk about.
Lots to look forward
in
to.
A month or so. Yep. All right, Jeff. Hey, we've run out of time. Happy birthday to Carmo.
Yeah.
And enjoy your lunch and.
Thank you. Thank you.
The spring weather that is on our way. I see here in Baltimore will be in the 70s midweek, and bounce back down a little bit. But hopefully, we've seen the end of winter for this year.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you have a great lunch. Have a great week, and we'll get back at it again next Monday with some more Baltimore sports talk, Jeff. Thanks. All right, folks, that'll do it for Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live, the blogtalkradio.com network. I'm Rob McQuaid for Jeff Coles. Have a great week, folks. Enjoy the NCAA tournament, spring training, and we'll talk again next week. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte. The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy. For it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You've got a clean and porn site.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.